The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told his disciples another parable. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given. They will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we're on the second to the last Sunday of the church year, the year where we use the Gospel of Matthew to proclaim the good word of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Matthew is known for having a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I can't wait for Advent to begin. I'm done with gnashing teeth and fire and brimstone. So I'm going to start with a story, and you're going to have to pay close attention today to get my point. But I think you will. I'm going to start by telling you something that happened to me a number of years ago. I was visiting a long-term care facility, and I wasn't sure which room the person I was visiting was in, so I approached the receptionist to find out. And before I asked her which room, I asked, How are you today? And instead of the usual fine, or the dreaded long drawn-out diatribe about what a crappy day she was having, and all of that that could go with that, How are you? Her answer not only surprised me, but to this day it brings a smile on my face to remember. To my query, How are you? She simply replied, I'm blessed. I have no doubt that that was the gospel truth, because no matter what kind of a day she might have been having, she knew she was blessed. That story has stuck with me. And looking back on that brief encounter, for me, her response demonstrated the difference between one person's perception over against another person's reality. By that I mean, I've known a handful of people in my life who some might say, if it weren't for bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all. You've heard that expression too. But often as I listen to their view of life, I can't help but think at least some of it is self-fulfilled prophecy. And by that I mean, if you think something bad is going to happen, it probably will. Conversely, if you feel blessed, you most certainly are. It occurred to me that that might be how we can make some sense of this parable Jesus told. A man's going on a journey, but before he goes, he entrusts his property to his slaves. Upon his return, the first two slaves are commended by their master for the way they used the talents that he had entrusted to them. To each one, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." But the one who was afraid of his master buried his talent in the ground. So upon the master's return, that slave received quite a harsh tongue lashing. But perhaps it was actually self-fulfilled prophecy. His master said to him, "You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter?" That's precisely the point at which I'd like to reframe the point that I think Jesus may have been trying to make, and what that may mean for us. Because if Jesus is alluding to his second coming and the final day of judgment, and most scholars agree that that's the case, then we would do well to remember that Jesus also told us, as Paul did in his writing to Thessalonians, that no one knows the time or day of his return. It will be at an unexpected hour like a thief in the night. And if that's the case, then the parable is more about what we do in the meantime, what we do in the here and now, what we do while we're waiting for Christ to return, to come again. Clearly, we are to use the talents he has entrusted us to further the kingdom of God, and we're to use those talents without fear of failure. I say that because by virtue of our baptism, we are already assured of the promises of God, and we are heirs with Christ. That means we have nothing to fear. The Apostle Paul put it like this: when we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might have a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Therefore, if we believe that we are co-inheritors of God's promise, and that God is, in fact, trustworthy, and that God's steadfast love endures forever, then we have nothing to fear. And so, as we await Christ's return, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're invited and called and equipped to use our God-given gifts of time, talents, and treasures to further God's reconciling and redeeming work in this world. Conversely, if like the slave in the parable, we believe God is harsh and judgmental, then we live in the fear of God's wrath and condemnation. And if that's the case, it may be that we're so afraid of failure that we're unable or unwilling to take risks. Which leads me to wonder, could the harsh judgment be a direct result of how that third slave perceived his master, and not in how the master truly was or is? I'd argue that it is his perception. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. He thinks his master is harsh and he's afraid to take any risks. Only there's plenty of biblical evidence to the contrary, that our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That God is in fact like a sower who recklessly throws seed out wherever it falls, just with reckless abandon, even if it's going to fall on rocky soil or be choked by thorns or eaten by birds, or if it falls on good soil and takes root and grows. God is like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings to protect them, to provide for them, to assure them of her presence. God is like a shepherd who searches for his lone, lost sheep, or like a patient parent waiting for a wayward child to return home. To me, the evidence that God is loving and forgiving, gracious and merciful, is overwhelming. I've read it, heard it, lived it, and experienced it for myself. And I'm willing to bet so have you. So for those of us who are seeking to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the here and the now, rather than fearing failure, we need to be risk takers. And whenever someone asks us how we're doing, we can simply respond, "I'm blessed. Thanks be to God." Amen.